Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came.
Little Chicago bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Joel Barker is our guest. Joel is a longtime Brain Trust member, the author of a number of books, including The Future Edge, which that's the one that was put out in paperback on Paradigms, isn't it, Joel?
Yes, called Paradigm.
I talk about it all the time. Joel, I'm doing a series of speeches now on the age of the customer. I've been talking about that quite a bit lately and working on my new book on that topic. But I just want you to know that I talk about the paradigms that are shifting in the age of the customer, and I give you full credit for teaching me about that, and I just want to again thank you for having educated me about that over 20 years ago.
Well, thank you, Jim, and we're still
seeing this all the time, folks. One of the paradigms that's shifting right now is in the area of manufacturing, because we now have something you're calling or others are calling 3D printing. Joel, tell us what that is.
3D printing is the outgrowth of a technology that was considered pretty trivial. That was inkjet printing. Hewlett-Packard was one of the very first to bring out, and what they had is this little cartridge that squirted out little dots of ink. And some of us can remember having one of those printers, and and the letters were formed by dots. And
I have one right here in my office. I use it every day.
Here's what happened, and this is the way paradigm shifts happen. Now, and if you think about it, compared to a typewriter, that was a paradigm shift. We're going to squirt ink onto paper and print by doing that. Oh, that's clever, but who cares, right?
Right.
It's a trivial idea. Then some people sat down and said, you know what? If you would retrace the same letters that you printed before and keep going over and over and over again, you could build up a layer so it would actually be a three-dimensional letter. It would rise off the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody took the giant step that said, well, if that's the case, then you could actually take a CAD design, you know, a computer-aided design thing,
CAD-CAM,
slice it into little horizontal pieces, and squirt plastic material instead of ink, and make a prototype of it three-dimensionally. So you build it up a layer at a time. We are now to the point where we're starting to actually not do prototypes, but start to manufacture small, significant objects via printing.
Like what?
Well, like a switch, like a knob for a handle, like a they're printing metal composites now. So like,
what is the advantage of that? What is the advantage of that over, say, injection molding or extruding or something like that?
Yeah, it's infinitely variable, Jim. I just printed a handle. Now I'm printing a part for a car. Now I'm printing a part for my scuba set. Now I'm printing a decorative object.
Because if I do injection molding, or if I do extrusion or something like that, I've got to have built. This is very time consuming mold with very intricate, precise cutting and carving has to happen. You're talking about changing a computer code and changing the mold, aren't you?
Yeah, literally the objects that are like coming out of the process. It's a different everything that. You know, in line, it's not the same thing. And you're right. Once you have that mold, you do 1,000 of those or 1,000,000 of those in that mold. And that's not to say there won't be times when, you know, that's useful. But as what we've seen before, as the new technology, as the new paradigm comes, what people say, well, we'll still do it the old way. We don't do it the old way at all anymore. We just don't even think about the old way of doing things because the new way has become so fast and so efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with, by the way, it brings a significant amount of manufacturing back to the shores of the United States.
Right, but it also changes the way people work.
Oh,
because
does it
now
ever?
Instead of a die-cast cutter,
yep,
who may not even have a high school degree, but is pretty darn good with his hands,
yep,
or you know, has learned how to do this very precisely. I know them. Members of my family have been die-cast experts.
Cool.
You now need a computer programmer more than a die-cast person.
And think about the brain power in terms of seeing the image that you're working with, too. So you actually need a designer, coder. And so you put these things together, and it is a different set of jobs. But it also allows you to create so much variety that there's a I think there's going to be a very large growth in designer roles where you, I will call you up, you're my designer. Mm-hmm. Jim, I'm thinking about doing this, ship me a couple of designs that might look good.
Right.
I take a look at it on my computer, it's great. You send it to the printer, you get your payment from me as your designer for me, mm-hmm. you get a piece of the thing, if other people like it, you know, it becomes a popular object. We don't have a system like that that allows that kind of creativity. It's really, it opens up doors for artists.
But it's also, but it is, but you're talking, but you, in the same moment that you, in the same breath that you just said that, you also described disruption. Employment disruption.
It's disruptive innovation. There's no question.
And that's
about
what's
it.
Creating what we have right now in America. We have two layers of unemployment. We have cyclical unemployment and we have structural unemployment. What you just described is exacerbating the structural unemployment.
In one way, but now think about the other thing. Think about the technology of the printer. And if we keep that in, you know, where we should, inside our
right,
own borders.
Right.
Lots of jobs and lots of technology and mm-hmm. lots of innovation and lots. And the other thing that I like about it, it keeps the wealth, it circles the money inside the borders, which creates opportunities for more jobs, which
you know,
we don't
Joe,
have right now when we ship it to China.
For 10 years, I've been saying that why doesn't some presidential candidate take on as a major plank of her platform that I want to do what I can to get all Americans ready for 21st century jobs. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's being specific about that. And I think that could win an election. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an important part of that election.
Yeah.
And we need a voice for that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Somebody's got to step up.
JoeBarker.com, right?
Yes.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find the body of work that Joel has deposited with us over the years on my website, too. Look for his name in the Brain Trust or search for him in our search engine, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and all the other things that we do there all the time. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.